This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
Yo, you are in the right place at the right time, listening to the right thing. Tech Webcast. Congratulations on choosing such an awesome thing to listen to. You are clearly very smart. You're into tech stuff. You love hearing Brad and Jason and their guests chat. And you're probably really good looking too. Well done. So let's get into it. The weekly tech extravaganza that is Tech Webcast. In 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to episode 220 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 5th of January, 2013. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. And our hosts for today are Brad, Jody, Steve, Jason, and Andrew. How you guys doing?
Hey, good intro for the first podcast back for 2013, Steve.
Oh, it did turn out good, yeah.
Yeah, it did turn out good, mate. And we've got Jason from TechOU. Hey, Jason.
How you doing, guys?
How you going, mate? Welcome. Good to have you on.
Doing well. Thanks, Brad. Just trying to stay cool.
Yeah, same to me. And also, we got Andrew on. He's new from somewhere. Andrew, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, g'day, Brad. Yeah, I'm doing well. Thanks. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Oh, good, mate. And also, we got Jody on. Hey, Jody. She muted. Anyway, we'll move to Craig. Anyway, Craig, what's up? Craig?
Yeah, hey, how are you doing?
That was a long pause. Please don't pause in the podcast.
Sorry about that.
Oh, that's great. How are you, mate? Welcome to the show. Why is there a long pause? But anyway, let's move on. Steve, what's been happening, mate?
I've been pretty busy with the, of course, Christmas holiday, so this is probably the most I've been away from the internet and the show. Of course, I've been had several things in the back burner going for the next show, I think. And I went to a New Year's party. It was awesome. The first one in over 20 years, I think.
Oh. Wow. That's a long time. And Jason, what did you get up to for New Year's Eve and stuff, mate?
New Year's wasn't too big. It just went and seen a local fireworks show here in Wodonga. Christmas, spent time with the family as you do at Christmas time and the girlfriend's family. But also spent some time building some apps.
Oh, nice one. Any cool gadgets? What did you have for Christmas? What did you have? Anything cool?
I mean, the closest thing is the Surface RT, and the girlfriend got me the keyboard cover for the type keyboard for that. So
nice.
Yeah, that's sort of the gadget for Christmas.
What about this TiVo post you wrote about the other day?
Yeah, that ended up getting a fair bit of traffic. So basically, I called the TiVo dead after doing some research and finding out that our local Harvey Norman wasn't selling them anymore. And then after researching a little bit, found out that was actually much wider spread, and most of Australia hadn't been getting TiVos for about 2 to 3 months and aren't looking like they're getting any more. It's basically shut up shop for TiVo Australia.
Well, yeah, that's interesting. I don't know why they keep sending me the same reply on the email.
Yeah, I think they're not ready to officially announce it yet, because as soon as they do, then clearly the existing stock out there in a few stores that have some left will, you know, find it very difficult to sell the remaining stock. So
yeah, exactly.
They're going to continue to push this message. It's business as usual, but clearly from what I've uncovered that, you know, this isn't the case with TiVo in Australia.
Exactly, yeah. And what's going to happen after when they do go dead and there's no more EPG and stuff?
Look, I would expect that they will keep one or two staff around just for support, but, you know, there's no active development going on. There's no updates. We're certainly not getting new models, as you'd expect. You know, the US has, I think, 2 new models since we got ours. And, we just haven't seen any of those updates in Australia. So it's time to look for alternatives, really. My brother's looking for a new device, and I started looking for him. So, I thought I'd write a post around it, and it seems like a few other people are in the same boat.
Yeah, same. I'm putting in the same boat too, but I'll probably get rid of it too very shortly if it's going to happen.
It is a gadget, right? It's going to die at some point. It's got a hard drive inside there. It's going to die, so we'll all need to think about it eventually.
Yeah, and you don't have Foxtel. I don't have Foxtel, so we have to go and buy a new Freeview box, get a Freeview, or Bush something, or what's it, a PVR,
that's right.
Would you buy next?
Yeah, unless you get a new TV with everything built in, that'd be nice.
Oh, that's cool. That's a good point too, yeah.
Maybe a new 84-incher or something.
That's huge. Jodie, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, what happened before?
I don't know.
Oh, you went muted. Okay, you got some news today?
I absolutely do.
And happy news, by the way, too.
Okay, well, the audio is a little bit funky, so bear with me if you can hear me okay. You know, we were talking about holiday shopping, and apparently worldwide, more money went mobile. I don't think it's a big surprise. I think the numbers are surprising, however. Mobile search and display advertising was up 220%. That's just in the U.S. Mobile ad spending around the world more than doubled last year, and enough growth will moderate this year, double-digit increases in mobile ad spending. And they're predicting that's going to continue in coming years as the mobile outlays approach, you can get this number, $37 billion, by 2016. In 2012, mobile spending was at $8.41 billion, according to eMarketer's forecast, up from over $4 billion the year before. So it obviously more than doubled. And $2.34 billion in 2010. So it doubled from then. So evidently, mobile has been screaming in terms of growth. And I'm just curious, guys, did you do any shopping mobily this year for the holidays?
Yeah, Andrew here, Jody. I did some shopping mobily. I bought a few bits and pieces, actually, of all places, in bed at night on eBay. So
that's cool.
And that's the first time this year that I've, this Christmas season, that I've actually done that. And it was easy. It came quick. And, yeah, it was a good experience.
Yeah, good stuff. I didn't do all that. Welcome, Greg, for the podcast, mate.
Hey, g'day. Hello. Can't see any faces except Brad's.
You got any headphones on? Mate, you got headphones on?
Oh, well, I'll have to go out and come back in.
Yeah, yeah, go get it, mate. The background noise is really annoying.
Back.
All right. What about you, Craig? Did you do any mobile shopping?
I didn't do any shopping on my mobile, but I got a, I got a camera and some stuff for my Galaxy Note 2.
Oh, no.
Just some accessories for it, but that was pretty much it.
All right, cool. And Jason, what about you? Did you do anything like that?
I did my research online. I didn't buy too much online. I tend to leave the shopping till the last minute, so I end up running to the retail stores and just finding whatever I can for presents. But, doing the research, the price checks online is a great way to find the cheapest price.
I think the best time to do shopping is Boxing Day, I reckon, personally.
Yeah, if your friends and family are comfortable in getting a late present, I guess.
Oh, it's only one day, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's after Christmas.
Yeah, but that's when all the sales are on.
Yeah, I mean, you run into stock issues, I guess, because it's only what's left over.
Yeah, true. True. Did anyone get an iPad mini for Christmas, or did you get one, Jody?
No, I didn't get an iPad mini. I got some nice leather boots, though.
Oh, yeah, nice. what about Craig? Do you get any iPad mini?
No, actually, I'm not on the Apple ecosystem whatsoever. I'm on Android or Windows 8. I'm not into the iOS at all.
Why is that?
I just prefer Android over time, especially with the Samsung Galaxy Note 2. I can't see myself using anything else right now.
Yeah, that's a good phone. Then I like that phone. Good, nice phone. Steve, what about you?
Talking about the mobile shopping.
Yeah.
I haven't really shopped using a mobile device. I have, though, ordered pizza, which works really good. The Domino's app.
Oh, yeah, same. Me too.
You can go there, choose your toppings and everything, send it off, and watch when you even know when it's ready to pick up, because the app shows you, each step, and then, ready for pickup, and you just go and pick it up or deliver.
That is totally neat.
You're gonna do it.
Yeah, it is. We can do it over here in Australia, too. It's pretty nice.
I think that's totally cool.
Yeah, you should try it out one day, Jody. And what else has been happening in the news?
Well, interesting. I don't know how many of you have signed up for the new MySpace. It's getting mixed reviews, however. Gizmodo, which was one of the first reviewers, kind of said they understand why it was dead in the first place and they feel that it should just die already. On the other hand, Mashable is a little bit excited about the new MySpace. Some of the things that we've always liked about MySpace have to do with the music features. Apparently, they've gotten rid of a lot of the old stuff and totally remade it. And I'm curious, have you guys tried the new MySpace?
No.
I have.
No? And will you try it?
No, I've given it a shot, Jody. I actually went there expecting to dislike it, and actually it was pretty cool. It's extremely visual. It's got a right-hand scroll, so you actually, instead of scrolling up and down, you scroll across to the right, which is a bit different. And when you go to a profile, there's a whole photo instead of just sort of being a little cover photo at the top. The whole background is a photo, and as you move the mouse cursor down, it automatically pops up with a music play bar, so you can play just about any music tune. I think they're trying to get a real niche in music and photography and things. And look, I think it's actually got some legs if it can get past the bad MySpace brand.
Do you think they should have renamed it something different?
At first, I would have said no, but the fact that you've got, it's probably not getting the traction that they wanted. At this point, I'd say yes, they probably would have been better to rename it. Even if they did rename it, a lot of people would still know that it was MySpace, but you might get a lot of the new people or unique people who wouldn't be aware that it is MySpace. You've got Justin Timberlake on there, who's effectively the new go-to guy. He's the new Mark Zuckerberg or Tom of the MySpace there, and he's only got 8,000 people who've sort of circled him, which is a pretty low number considering they made a lot of noise about what they're doing. So I think a new brand probably would have suited.
Interesting. Craig, I know you tried it. What did you think?
Yeah, I've been using it all day. I got my invite today, and right now it's really not widespread anyway. You have to have an invite or you have to bring someone in. But I'm a music person, and I use Windows 8, and it is very much like Windows 8, because Windows 8 scrolls side to side. It's very big and very visual. All the elements of Windows 8 are in MySpace. I don't know if that's good or bad, depending on what you're into. But as far as when I first got in there, it was a little confusing. It was not, I always deem a social interface that should be just tell you what to do. It's kind of bizarre how you get going. But once you get it going, you discover how to bring people in and stuff. It's all about the music. There is nothing else in there. Like you said, you can do albums of photos or music, and that's it. But it is kind of nice to have it sitting on a separate monitor while you're working and listening to playlists that people created, and that sort of thing. So for that, I do not see it getting any traction above like Facebook, Google Plus whatsoever. It's definitely going to be a music niche style social network, if you want to call it a social network, because it's really not that social the way it's laid out. But, I just don't see it being the monster it used to be.
Interesting. Steve, have you tried it?
Actually, I'm on there now. I have seen a little bit of it, not much. Of course, what I really hated the most about MySpace before was you go to somebody's channel and they allowed you to put on whatever you wanted, and some people put so much flash animation, it would literally, lag big time. And so I would leave the page, and they seem to categorize everything a little bit better. I don't know if it's really going to grab hold like it used to. I think it's just been, had so many problems for so long. It's, I don't know, possible. We'll see.
Brad, do you have any thoughts?
No, I don't. I don't have any thoughts on MySpace. Sorry.
Okay. I do. This is Jason. I've been using it for a while. And what I'm seeing is an explosion of people connecting. So like you mentioned, it is limited at the moment, but clearly they've opened it up to a wider audience because my connections are connecting to other people. So my front stream is just flooded with new connections. So it is starting to gain traction, I guess, a little bit. We haven't obviously had official numbers, but I do think they should be applauded for taking a chance with the UI. I think a lot of websites are starting to look the same, and this is something very different that we haven't seen before. So even just on that element, I think, congrats to the web guys. They took a chance, and I think it paid off. it takes a while to get used to, but on a tablet or something, it works fantastically. And there isn't any of that rubbish hangover from the old MySpace with autoplay music on people's profile and that sort of stuff. The thing actually just looks gorgeous. Whether it takes off and is the definitive source for music will really, I think, depend on the music subscription service they offer. So we don't really know anything about the cost. It's all free at the moment. So that's a big part of it as well.
Yeah, interestingly enough, I think the cachet that Facebook used to have has kind of dimmed a little bit. And it kind of brings us right into our next story, which has to do with teens hate Twitter, yet world leaders love it. And it has to do with how different entities find social media, how some things fall into favor, some things fall out of favor. This story is based on Josh Miller, who was a Princeton dropout who co-founded the tech startup called Branch. And evidently he wrote a post last week that examined the social media scene through the eyes of his 15-year-old sister. I'll share with you, it's interesting just in my own experience that my daughter, who is 18, has a very, very different taste in social media. But evidently Josh Miller's sister told him that photo sharing services like Instagram and the photo messaging app Snapchat are their tools of choice, with more established sites like Facebook and Tumblr enjoying less cachet among her set. And she told her older brother about Twitter that nobody uses it. She says, "I know you love it, but I don't get it. I mean, I guess a few kids use it, but they're all the ones that won't shut up in class, who always think they have something important to say." So it's kind of interesting how different generations and even different niches use different social media. I'm just curious if you guys want to weigh in on that one. You know, I know Twitter was really popular for a while. Some people have kind of fallen off using it when they migrated to Google Plus. Craig, you want to weigh in on that?
I personally, I've been on Twitter since day one, and I never liked it. I stay on it for marketing purposes, but I just don't like it. I've never been a Twitter person. I use it. I feel like I'm forced to use it, but it's just not me. I'm more of the Facebook, Google Plus, and all the other ones. The 140 character thing, just, you know, I can just text people, or there's other ways of doing it. I don't get it.
Well, I love Twitter, and I love chatting to the famous people on there. They always write back.
You're on it a lot too, though, Brad.
Yeah, well, the guy from the skateboarder, Mark Valley, he writes back to me all the time. He's cool. And yeah, Twitter's cool.
It's interesting. I love Andrew Twitter. Here. It's interesting. That article, I read it during the week and actually shared it through my Facebook. There's a big question, I think, a dynamic between whether or not Twitter and even Facebook need to actually try and go after that younger market, that sort of teenage market, a bit more aggressively, or whether that market will grow up and become more guided toward products like Twitter and so forth. So I'm not really sure where the balance is, whether they're actually going to lose them longer term. A lot of younger people, you know, in sophomores and so forth, they'll sort of say, "Oh, Facebook is what my parents use. It's not what I use." And they're using Snapchat and these sorts of things. And just something else in that article, right at the end, the actual, where are we? Josh Miller actually talks about the 15-year-old, his sister, she's talking about what they want next. What the kids want next is some kind of active FaceTime, sort of a real face video product that people can use like Kik, so sort of a messaging product. So it's interesting how Snapchat has almost gone to that, but they're still wanting something else. So I do think that things are becoming more and more video-centric. Facebook, there's a number of articles I've seen this week about people saying Facebook is just becoming so boring and text and so forth. And you look at Instagram, you look at Snapchat, we're becoming more and more visual. And I think this is coming up from that teenage sort of market who are very much first adopters.
All right. Greg, what about you, mate? What's your view on this?
Me? Yeah. Sorry, mate. It's pretty patchy here, but yeah, I didn't get totally at all with it anyway.
Do you use Twitter, mate? Do you use Twitter?
Pardon?
Do you like Twitter or do you use it?
I haven't been over there for quite a while.
Okay, all right. What about you, Jason?
Oh, come on, Brad. You know I love Twitter.
Yeah, I know that was
the question. We're on it all the time, aren't we? We're addicts.
That was a dumb question.
Dude, it's funny, though.
Yeah. I mean, the thing I love about it is the fact that I've met some amazing people on Twitter, and then you'll go to an event or something and meet them in real life, and often their personalities that come through on Twitter are them in real life. I mean, it is a real person sitting on the other end of that, and your ability to tap into online, you know, conversations that you would otherwise not have a seat at that table is just phenomenal. And I've met some really fantastic people. As Brad said, some celebrities reply to you, which is fantastic. But also, I think I could probably go to any capital city in Australia, post a tweet and say, hey, I need a bed for the night, and someone would come to the rescue. And that sort of stuff is awesome.
That's neat.
Wow, that's fantastic. Has that ever happened to you, Jason? Have you ever done it before?
Yeah, I've crashed in Melbourne and Sydney before, for sure.
Oh, cool. When do you come back to Melbourne again?
No immediate plans, but I'm sure I'll make it there. I clocked up a number of Ks in the plane last year, so
cool.
Yeah, I'm sure this year is going to be the same.
All right, cool. We'll have to meet up or something. What else, Jody?
Deal.
Yeah, done deal, mate. Yeah, what else has been happening, Jody?
Well, somebody had posted about Google Glass, return to Flickr, leaving iOS for Surface, Windows Phone 8. Are those your notes, Brad?
These are mine, Jason.
Oh, they're Jason's, yeah. That's Jason notes, I think.
Okay. Did you want to discuss that, Jason? Or?
Yeah, sure thing. I mean, Brad told me that we're going to sort of have a bit of a think about what happened in the last 12 months. And the big things that stuck out for me was, you know, Google Glass is sort of an innovation that's coming in the future and something that's worldly different than anything we'd used before. And, you know, it's not publicly available and it's going to be some time. But I look at the potential of something like that to change the way that we move around the world. And that's just, you know, hugely, as somebody who loves technology, it's hugely interesting and exciting to watch. So, you know, there were $1,500 for developers when they're, you know, at Google I.O. But this year they're actually going to get into the hands of those people. And I think the experiences that we're going to see out of something like that wearable technology, if they can actually pull it off, that's going to be phenomenal. So that was something that I left 2012 with really big hopes.
Good
the
answers.
Other things, yep, I left iOS after being with them for, I guess, since the iPhone first shipped. Actually, I had the first iPod Touch when it came out in Australia, which shipped before the first iPhone.
Wow.
And I loved it. I fell in love with it. I seen amazing innovation there, an explosion of apps, and I lived through that for the last 4 years. And it just sort of became time that I looked at what was being offered by Nokia and Microsoft in their tablets and smartphones, and it was enough to win me over. And a lot of people are sort of tied into the fact they've got hundreds of dollars invested in that ecosystem. They don't want to move. And I never want that to be the case that ties me in and I can't go to the next thing because of the history. I think that's a really bad reason to stay. And I got value out of those apps. I did. And so I feel satisfied the money spent was well spent. And now I'm into this new era and seeing this ecosystem explode. So I'm really excited about it.
Good stuff. So Andrew, Jason, what phone do you use now as a main phone?
Yeah, the Lumia 920 is my primary phone.
Oh, nice. Good one. Yeah, what about the Note 2? Do you have the Note 2?
No. That thing is enormous.
I thought you had that one, but I was wrong. Jody, any more news?
Yeah, just one more. Has to do with holiday shopping and TechCrunch. And apparently, U.S. holiday shoppers spent $42.3 billion online, up 14% from last year. And I believe over the last couple of years, the online shopping has increased to the extent that it is more than the amount of shopping that's done in brick-and-mortar stores, which is, you know, kind of an interesting flip-flop. Some of the things that contributed to the online shopping were a free shipping day, for example, December 17th, and Christmas Day itself was rather slow, but even that was up 36% over last year. So, you know, evidently a lot more people are doing their shopping. And this, you know, I mean, online and mobile both, I believe, have contributed to helping a lot of the retailers do a lot better this year. So, and that's pretty much all the news that I pulled for today. So, if you want to comment or...
Yeah, that's good news. Steve, what's your view on them stories, mate? We've got Dasha.
Actually, I wanted to go into the Surface Window tablet by Microsoft. It's kind of funny. Of course, Oprah Winfrey left a message. I can't remember if it was on Twitter or whatever, that she loves the Surface tablet, and she's buying 8 of them. The end of the post, it says posted by a message left by iPad, which was kind of weird.
That's interesting.
But anyway.
You had to think that was done by one of her staffers, not her, actually. And it was probably a paid endorsement, too.
Yeah, I agree. Probably it would be a paid endorsement, yeah. All right, JD, what's the guest on today? Who are we having today?
Well, one of our guests today is Craig Lukey from Rockland, USA. And Craig has been instrumental in putting together the – Craig, forgive me if I get this wrong, but it's the World Games for 2015 for firefighters and for police officers. And it's an international event. Do I have the kind of close?
Yeah, you're kind of close, yeah. That okay. Was pretty good.
Maybe you can kind of explain it better than I did and explain what it's about.
Hi, everybody. It's the 2015 World Police and Fire Games. It was actually held in Adelaide, Australia, for you Australians out there. In 2007, really? I believe.
That's crazy.
2007 in Adelaide.
That's good. It's good stuff. I love how you say Adelaide.
Yeah, so it's going to come to the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area in Fairfax, Virginia in 2015. But in this year, 2013, it'll be in Belfast, Northern Ireland. And what it is, at least for us, it'll be 73 countries, 15,000 athletes coming in to basically do like the Olympics. But they're only professional police and firefighters. And it is the second largest multi-sport event in the world as far as attendance. So I am in charge of all the online stuff as far as social marketing, using Twitter, Facebook, Google+, MySpace, and also creating our website, which has our own social network as well.
What sort of sports we have there on their day?
We have hockey. There's 200 hockey teams that show up. We have even dodgeball.
Nice.
We do not have cricket at ours, but they're going to have that in Belfast.
Yeah, cricket's good.
Usually whoever's hosting it, whatever country, they'll have their flavor of sports. There are some required sports like soccer or football, as you guys call it.
Footy.
Track and field, swimming, footy. That sort of thing. But then you put your own local flavor as well.
Greg, you got any questions for Craig? Greg? Let's pass on. Jason, any questions for Craig?
Do you have any like mobile apps or anything or a website we should check out for that?
Yeah, the website we have currently going, not all of it is completed because we're still 2.5 years away, so we're adding the tourism part. Fairfax2015.com, and the mobile apps are coming. We're deciding the website obviously will turn into a mobile app, which is not that friendly, but we're developing actually for your Surface tablet. We are making a Windows 8 version that has all the different sports on there. Android and iOS as well. And we're going to be using QR codes extensively throughout all the venues. So if you show up to the basketball venue, you'll see a huge QR code on a banner. You just take your phone, scan it, and then it'll tell you what the current schedule is, what the current standings are, and about the rules for the international rules for that event and everything right there and there. And then you can see who else is there as well.
Awesome.
And Craig's being very modest. Craig, how many Facebook fans do you have for the event?
I think we have 64,000 and probably 40,000 are real. I have a lot of spammer. You know, it's like when you create a Twitter account, you know, the spammers come out of the woodwork and I'm always deleting people because they join just to spam your wall. So, but we have a lot of people interacting with us and now we have 64,000 right now in there.
Craig,
one of the things that I... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Sorry, are you looking longer term at actually being able to, like, what level of social integration, and are you looking at doing some broadcasting and things like that from some of these events to try and bring people in internationally who may not be there?
That's actually a good question, Andrew, because here's my challenge. I got brought onto this in 2009. So you know the speed of technology, right? I got to sit here. Yeah. I have to gauge. Will even Facebook be around in 2015? As stupid as that sounds, I have to always look at what social network or communications platform is out there. I have to keep creating accounts on every single one right now I have like 70 different accounts out there running with that I'm trying to keep up on. And so I'm trying to gauge what the future is. So what they're telling me is, if you read all the articles and the studies, that most people will have a mobile phone around the world. So if they're all coming with about 80% people chance that they'll have a mobile phone, I need to gauge that. Now, remember, 73 countries are coming to the United States. Even Canadians coming down to the United States doesn't mean their phone will work here. That's the other challenge. So even though I can gauge to a mobile phone, they won't be able to get service here. So they'll have to get like a prepaid phone or buy a SIM card that they can put into their unlocked phone. See all the challenges I got to deal with? And so I have to gauge that. So we are going to stream the games. Right now we're going to be using either Ustream or Justin TV or something like that. Ustream, you know, a lot of these allow you to embed it on your own website, just like Justin TV is right now on your website, Tech Webcast. Who knows if we're going to use a Hangout on Google Plus? I don't know, but I have everything ready, and I just keep changing it out, hoping. But eventually, I have to lock in with what we're going to do. Probably at the last, I would say, Q4 of 2014, I will have to lock into whatever I'm doing, and just got to stick it out from that point on.
Yeah, interesting. And as you said, you can't gauge exactly what's going to be around then. I mean, Instagram's come up so quick in 2014, 2015. It could be a totally different player. I mean, I have a social video startup myself, and things move so quick. You've got no idea really what is going to be the technology of choice at that time. And the other potential issue is around network and bandwidth. I know that in Melbourne, I go to the Formula One Grand Prix every year. On the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, there's lots of bandwidth for me to check the timing and all of those things. But on Sunday, there's 130,000 people there. The networks just completely die. So that's another potential challenge.
Wow. That's crazy. Steve, any questions?
Yeah. I'm actually looking at your Google Plus page. It's kind of ironic, the tagline says, I am the most uninteresting man in the world, believe it. But you've done so much, and it's kind of funny that you put that in there. Now, it also says you've done Rockland US Radio. You've been actually streaming this for 10 years, and it says live365.com. So are you still doing that, and how many people listen to it on a regular basis?
Yeah, I've been online since the phone coupler days of the early 80s, so I've been online since CompuServe. Back when it's 300 bullets. So I've kind of grown through all this whole thing. My Rockland USA radio stations have been running since 1999 on a service called live365.com, which is kind of like they were around before Pandora and all the other music stations. So there's like 10,000 different people that create their own radio stations, and they stream on there. I started out with one, and I kept changing the music playlist and experimenting, couldn't get listeners. Finally decide, let me just play what I like and what, you know, mainstream people would like. And then scored into the top 10. So I've been in the top 10 ever since. So it's been there since 1999. So it's been more 11 years. But I have to pay $2,000 a year in royalties to Sound Exchange here in Washington, D.C. in order to play the music. So, but in return, ads get injected into my stream by like American companies like Home Depot, JCPenney, that sort of thing. So I get ad revenue back that actually, I actually generate a profit off my radio station. So now I'm allowed to have four radio stations on the one $2,000 US fee for music royalty. So I pay the artist that I play on my station, which a lot of the stations on Shoutcast do not pay royalties that they should be, but mine's a fully legal station. So I've been doing that for a long time. And I have, I think at the peak during the daytime, I get about 10,000 on my main channel, which is just the Rockland USA pop rock station. I get about 10,000 around 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Eastern time in the US, time zone. And, that's usually where I peak. If we're off on holidays or weekends, there's nobody around. Usually people listen when they're at work.
Cool, that's mate. Now, Craig, you do a podcast with Jody, is that correct?
Yes, we still do a podcast every, I think, Thursday, right, Jody? Around 7 or 8.
Yes.
What's the deal with that? Hey, what do you talk about on that?
Go ahead, Jody.
Craig, he's asking you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we talk about tech stuff.
Tech
like
stuff.
You do, but usually it's more social network geared news and commentary and whatnot. And you know, about 30 minutes of just talking about more of a social network news, not just the tech thing.
Good stuff. All right.
And what's the name of it?
Wait, what's the name? Yeah. What's the name of it?
I'm addicted to social media.
That's it.
Wow. A2SM. That's what it is, right?
Yep.
And yes.
Addicted to social media.
Exactly. With Jody Raines.
What's that, Jody?
Yes. Yeah, I'm submissive. She's my dog.
Okay. Yeah, all right. So
addicted to social media.
Okay. All right. So any more questions to Craig, Jody, or Steve, or anyone else? Jason?
Yes, Craig. When are you bringing back the games on Google Hangouts?
Oh, my God. You know, everybody. See, when I came back to Google Plus, everybody's been hitting me up. I've actually been starting to work on those again. What it is I developed a TV game style shows for chat rooms, video chat rooms. I cool. used to do it on Blog TV and StickCam, which are other networks just like Justin TV. And on Blog TV, I ended up being the number one broadcaster over there, but that place has gone to crap. I don't know if you've ever been to Blog TV lately. It's nothing but spam ads and everything. And all the
terrible.
People. Yeah, everybody used to do shows over there. A lot of the YouTubers were over there as well. Sexy Phil, you know, Phil DeFranco, all of them. We were all over there doing our shows, but now it's gone to crap. But anyway, I have like a Wheel of Fortune knockoff, Jeopardy, that sort of thing. And I tried a few of it on Google Plus. Google Plus Hangouts are so much different than like Justin TV and these others where you don't have this chat room. So you have no idea how many people are watching if you're doing one of these shows. It's really hard to interact with your audience if you only have like 9 people with video cameras on the screen and that's it. It's hard to interact because if they're all duds, you have nothing. You know what I mean? So I'm still trying to figure out how to make it work when you don't have a big audience or you don't know what your audience is.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up. Jody, you reckon wrap it up? Because apparently Brian just saying the Skype audio is really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah,
The Skype is bad.
It is bad. Hopefully next week will be better, but the audio version will be fine. So just download it when it's done, when it's uploaded. Jason, what do you want to say at CS this year, mate?
The biggest, baddest ass TVs ever.
Yeah, I agree.
As you'd expect. No, I really would like to see prices of the bigger screens. Like we're talking 55 inches up, come down to an affordable level. I mean, we're talking in excess of 10 grand at the moment. If in the next 12 months they drop to something more reasonable, that'd be something I'd consider, I guess.
Yep.
You know, there's going to be plenty of phones and cameras, and ultrabooks is probably one of the most exciting categories, I think. You know, plenty coming out for Windows 8 with touchscreen, which really interests me because I'm developing apps for Windows 8. So the more devices that get out there, hopefully the more people buy my apps.
Hey, have you checked out the new NRTV channel on Freeview yet, Jason?
I have indeed. Yeah, it's not too bad. That's our Indigenous Australian channel, dedicated 24/7, so that's kind of cool.
Do you watch it much or you?
I flick back and forward. It's not something I've found, you know, a favorite show on yet, but, you know, I'll certainly flick through and see what's in the guide, and if there's something that interests me, I'll check it out.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Andrew, what about you? What are you saying before we go, mate?
Yeah, as far as CES is concerned, I'm really looking forward to actually having a look at the 4K and 8K TVs and seeing what prices and seeing how many competitors there are in that game at the moment.
I want to see a 4K channel. That'd be cool. Steve, what about you? What do you
want to
see?
It's got to come over. Sorry, I'm just to interrupt on that. It's got to come over IP. There's no way that using our current broadcast methods that we could broadcast 4K and certainly not the same channel lineup that we have. So the only solution I see for that is to come over IP, which is really going to require our NBN to deliver.
Definitely. Yeah, so 4K is the next high definition, isn't it? That's the next.
Yeah, and there's no optical format. There's no like Blu-ray can't even hold them. So the way that gets to your TV has to be solved.
Wow, that's crazy. Mm. All right, Steve, what about you?
About 4K television.
You going to buy a 4K TV this year?
No, I'm still stuck on the CRT version.
Maybe you can watch 4K on that.
Yeah, no. I don't know. I have to see. I don't know much about it. I know they're trying to go to the next standard. Of course, I think HD TV would be enough for me, really.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely. 1080p is good enough for me.
I mean, how better can the picture be?
Yeah, exactly. You know? What about you, JD?
Yes.
Okay. Craig, what about you? Would you going to get a 4K TV? Craig, you going to get a 4K TV?
Yeah, I'm interested in those, but you know, as someone else said, it's like, you know, your eye can only see so much.
Yeah, exactly.
And it, you know, there's a limit where the human body just can't see anything better. But I do hear the 4K is the deal. But I don't know if that's more of a marketing thing or because they can't do much more with the technology because the human eye that, you know, what else can they do? I mean, it's
yeah, exactly.
Apparently Rob Scoble said he saw a 4K right next to a 1080p, and he said the difference was extremely visual, and then to the point of the 4K TV upscaling a Blu-ray disc was visually better than just watching a Blu-ray through 1080p, which I thought was interesting.
All right, we're going to have them guys on in February sometime when they come back from CS, Rob Scoble and Sam Lemon, them sort of people are going to come on and talk about CS. And thanks to Sam Lemon and JBL for sending me some speakers. Jason, what's your Twitter handle, mate?
At TechAU. That's TechAU.
And the website?
TechAU.tv.
And the website?
TechAU.tv.
Good stuff. Me, I'm at Brados on Tech Webcast. Steve?
I'm at justin.tv/LinuxCoolDude. And of course, my Twitter is chatterbox_live.
You need a website, Steve. Jody?
Well, you can find me on Twitter as sunswept. And everywhere else, you can find me as either webmarcom, webmarcom.net, or Jody Rains.
Cool. Are you going to say yes, Jody?
What's that?
You going to say yes?
I still can't understand what you're saying.
Are you going to CES?
CES?
Yeah, CES
show.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, CES.
The sound is a little garbly. Actually, no, I probably am not going to make it. It's just, you know, a mere day's flight away.
Okay.
What am I wasting my time for? But no, I'm not. I probably will not make it.
All right. What about you, Craig?
No, I will not be going to CES at all. No,
okay. What's your Twitter handle on that, mate? So people can follow you on Twitter.
I'm over on Twitter. It's RocklandUSA. Website's RocklandUSA.com. And over on Facebook, it's Craig Lukey is my full name.
All right,
and
good
on
stuff.
Google Plus, who knows what the address is over there.
I'll put that in the show notes. Andrew.
Yeah, my Twitter is Ari from Oz. That's ARIFROMOZ. And you can check out my social video startup, Zafo.com, when you get a minute.
Are we not supposed to mention that? Till next week when you're on. Or whenever you're on, but you can mention it again. Mention again, Andrew, go ahead.
Okay.
Mention again, mate. What is it?
Zafo.com. Andrew at Zafo.com if you want to check me out there.
All right. Joe, you want to say anything before we go?
Brad, I'm having a real hard time hearing you.
All right, anyway, let's wrap up. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Jason. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Jody. Thanks, Craig. Thanks to everyone in the chat room. Download the audio version of this podcast. It'll be way better than the video version. Thanks, Jason, for coming on, mate. Appreciate your time.
No problem. Thanks for having me
on. Thank you. Thanks.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric, and myself as we bring you the latest most important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. A weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running tech news podcast.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more Tech Talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guests they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace.